Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my second week of teaching on the subject of God Wants You Well. And I tell you, I'm, of course, making these programs in advance, but I just know in my heart, even though I haven't heard the physical report yet, but I know in my heart that there are many, many, many people being set free by these truths that we're sharing. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And the sad fact is that most people don't know the truth about God wanting them well. Because they see so much sickness, and then the church comes along and tells people that it's God that made them sick and that God is getting glory out of this sickness, or it's God's punishment and stuff, it has muddled the waters and people just haven't heard the truth. And I tell you, it is liberating to find out that God is not behind your sickness. He wants you well more than you want to be well. And if you'll just cooperate with God, He'll get you well. I tell you, that's good news. On our program yesterday, I was talking about Paul's thorn in the flesh. And if you've missed any of this, please get these materials. I know that there's people that watch. Sometimes you're just flipping through the dials, you find this, and it's disconnected from the previous program. But man, I spent all yesterday teaching on this and showing that the Scripture says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, that Paul's thorn in the flesh was a messenger, an angel, a demonic power of Satan, not of God. And I also showed that his sickness or his infirmity was not sickness, it was hardship, it was persecution. So here's what actually happened. When Paul had this messenger of Satan, not from God, but it was a demonic power, come against him and just afflicted him with persecution. He even said over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that it looks like God has set us, the apostles, forth to be last. We suffer more than anybody else. You're blessed. You prosper because you've heard the gospel, but we are persecuted and we don't have a place and we're put in prison. Paul said it seemed like he had it worse than anybody else. And the reason that happened, it wasn't God that did it to him. It was a messenger of Satan afflicting him so that he would not be magnified in the sight of people. They would look at this and say, man, if this is what serving Jesus is all about, I'm going to rethink this thing. Satan was trying to hinder people from coming to the Lord. That's what he said. It was given to him a messenger of Satan, lest he should be exalted above measure. And then he says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. And the Lord said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I've heard other people interpret this, and you know what? I'm not trying to come against them because I agree with their conclusion. Their conclusion is that this wasn't from God. It was a messenger of the devil. And some people will try and interpret this as the Lord saying, "My grace is sufficient. I've already given you the power. You resist it. You overcome that." So the end result of what they're trying to say is that Paul wasn't sick. God didn't refuse to heal him. And I agree with all of those things. But personally, I don't think this is the Lord just saying, "My grace is sufficient. Paul, you take your authority. You resist this demonic messenger and overcome it." And that Paul could have overcome this. I personally believe that this goes back to all those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I believe that that's what this is referring to. That Paul was being persecuted and he literally besought the Lord to remove this demonic power or remove the persecution from him. And the Lord basically said, "Paul, you aren't redeemed from persecution. All those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Paul is the one that wrote that, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And so I believe that Paul was trying to get rid of this demonic power. He knew it wasn't just natural. It was supernatural. It was demonic, the way that he just had opposition come against him. And he prayed three times for the Lord to take it away. And God said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient. You aren't redeemed from persecution." Look at it this way. If the Lord had just stopped persecution, and any time His people started to be persecuted, God intervened and just stopped it, there wouldn't have ever been an Apostle Paul. because Paul was part of the group that persecuted Stephen and stoned him to death. And if God would have just smitten all of Stephen's persecutors, the Apostle Paul never would have been converted. He wouldn't have written half of the Bible. We wouldn't have these records. No, God has not redeemed us from persecution. He's redeemed me from sickness. He's redeemed me from sin. He's, redeemed me from a lot of things, but persecution isn't one of it. All of those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus said, if they've persecuted me, your master, they're certainly going to persecute you. He says, if you are without persecution, then are you bastards and not sons, is what it says over in Hebrews chapter 12. And so there is going to be problems. There's going to be opposition that come against us. You aren't redeemed from that. And so that's important. So this is talking about that Paul's thorn in the flesh was persecution. God hadn't redeemed him from that. And so this is not talking about him having some kind of a sickness or disease. You know, there are other people that will use scriptures. Like, let me just turn over and use a couple of these in Galatians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he's talking to the Galatians who had basically rejected him and gone with a legalist. And he said in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 13, he says, "You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me." And from this, people have said Paul had some kind of an ancient eye disease. And this is what he's referring to, and that was his thorn in the flesh. First of all, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 does not say he had a sickness. His infirmity was not a sickness. It was a demonic messenger that persecuted him. And I believe I've established that from Scripture. When he says here that he had an infirmity in the flesh, in this instance, I do believe it was talking about some kind of a physical problem. But if you take this in context, the cities of Galatia were Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium. That's where Paul was stoned and left for dead. It's not impossible to believe that a person who had been stoned and left for dead the day before might have had an eye problem or something like that. But it doesn't mean that it was a thorn in the flesh, a continual thing from which God wouldn't heal him. I believe he got over it. And plus, you could take this as he was just using this symbolically when he says you would have plucked out your own eyes. I've told people before, I said, I'd give my right arm to help you. Does that mean that their right arm was bad? No, it's just a way of expressing that you love them so much you're willing to sacrifice a body part. And it could be that Paul was just using this in that way, saying that you love me so much that you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Now, why is it that you're rejecting me now when at one time you loved me so much? See, this isn't some verification that Paul had some ancient eye disease that caused him to have puffy, runny eyes. Another verse over here in Galatians chapter 6, he says in verse 11, he says, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand." And I've heard people before say that this is talking about Paul's eyesight was so bad he had to write in these letters that were 3 and 4 inches tall, and that's the reason it was such large letters. If you look this up in the Greek, it's not talking about large in size, it's talking about quantity. In my Bible, the book of Galatians is like 5 pages in this small print. 4 or 5 pages. That's a large letter. He's just simply saying, I wrote a long letter. And for people to get out of this, that Paul had some ancient eye disease, is beyond any method of Bible interpretation that is, honest. You are prejudiced. You want to believe it. This does not say he had poor eyesight. It does not say that they needed to pluck their eyes out and give it to him because he had an ancient eye disease. It's just talking about he had been stoned and left for dead. He might have had a black eye. He might have been using this just symbolically to talk about how much they loved him at one time. He wrote a large letter to him, a long letter to him. These are just simple things. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 says that he was dealing with a messenger, a demonic power from Satan, and that was his thorn in the flesh, not sickness. It is God's will for you to be well. That is so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. But sadly, we've had a lot of help misunderstanding the Word of God. So anyway, I'm sharing these things with you, and if you have ears to hear, I pray that you'll just hear and see that God wants you well. You know, again today, I'd like to play another one of our testimonies about healing. You know, this is powerful. You overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, and it's important to see that this works. I want to share the testimony of Mercy Santos, a woman who had multiple sclerosis that came to me in a wheelchair, and I prayed with her. And she didn't immediately get out of the wheelchair, but within 6 months, she was running. Look at this.
And there were two or three times where I walked into church and I felt the heat of the Holy Spirit, and I walked. But for some reason, I couldn't retain it. I couldn't understand. Lord, you just healed me, but why am I sick again?
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy.
I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis more than 20 years ago. At that time, I had paralysis of my left side and vision loss in my left eye. Years went by. I would have some symptoms. Some would come. They would go. It was only about 9 years ago when I moved to Florida where it really hit me really bad. I was still working, but half of the times I couldn't walk. I couldn't drive. So I would say every 6 weeks I was admitted into the hospital. I was given Salbutamol, which is a steroid, for about 4 or 5 days. At that point, it would make me a little stronger. And then I would try to function again, go to work, take care of my baby. 6 weeks later, here we go again.
This was the Salbutamol, which is a steroid that was given to me every other month. I used to go to the hospital, and if I didn't go to the hospital, then they used to send me a nurse to administer the steroids here at home. And she used to come 2-3 days sometimes. And they used to put a port, and the port would stay in my arm, and then they would administer the steroids until it was done. 3 to 4 days, it depended on how long the doctor would order it for.
It came to a point where I had to throw the towel in. The doctor said, you can't work anymore. I couldn't walk at that point. I couldn't use my arms. I couldn't swallow. I had incontinence. I had numbing all over my body. And I had pain all over my body. I would get muscle spasms, even in my face, in my back, in my arms, in my legs. I had an inability to speak. I had cognitive problems. I just had it all. I remember at one point, and I had a little girl that I had to take care of. Praise God that I had my family. I had my mother who helped me. But I remember trying to take care of my daughter and crawling on the floor because my legs could not hold me up. I just could not do anything. I couldn't take care of her. I couldn't cook. I could barely take care of myself, put on a pair of socks, get dressed, write a check out. I'd go to call my mother and I couldn't remember who I was calling, what number I was calling. I couldn't drive. So it was basically just home.
When I was little, of course, I didn't understand what was going on. All I knew that was that my mom was sick. It was really hard for me to see her like that because, of course, I understood what sickness was and that she wasn't well and she couldn't walk sometimes. And I had to call the ambulance for her once because she couldn't breathe.
I had control of nothing. My arms, my legs, I had no control. So I was in a wheelchair half of the times. I was walking with a cane. I had to use a walker. I couldn't drive on my own. I needed somebody to go with me everywhere I went. I couldn't be independent anymore.
I mean, it hurt my heart. It broke my heart to see her suffer each day. And when my grandma came to pick me up, I would always worry. I would have anxiety attacks because I didn't know where my mom was. Each day I felt like I could wake up and my mom would be gone. It was just really hard for me.
I began to feel helpless. The frustration of not being able to fix something when you're a fix-it guy. You're the kind of person that, you know, okay, you see a problem, bam, you're on it. You want to fix it. This, all I could do is see, and all I could do is hear what she was going through. And that gave me a great deal of frustration and anxiety, but not being able to help her with that. So I felt powerless.
I don't care what you see. I know I'm healed. That's what I kept saying. By his stripes, I am healed. And I kept hanging on to that. Hanging on to that, no matter how bad it got. Every time I was in the hospital, whoever could hear me, it's okay, I'm going to walk again. And I had times where the Lord actually spoke to me and gave me scripture. He gave me Acts 3, where I couldn't walk. And I walked again. And there were two or three times where I walked into church and I felt the heat of the Holy Spirit, and I walked. But for some reason, I couldn't retain it. I couldn't understand. Lord, you just healed me, but why am I sick again? Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Do I have to do something different? And that night, I had seen Andrew Womack before, and I used to wonder, who is this man? Why is he speaking that way? But that night, as I was going to shut the TV off, he was staring straight at me, and he said to me, what you're doing wrong is that you're not praying right. You need to pray differently.
But let me just put it to you this way. If what you're doing isn't working, why is it that you are so adamant about holding on to the concepts that aren't working for you? I'm just asking you to open up your heart just a little bit, to consider that maybe there's a better way to pray, to consider that maybe some of the foundational things that you've been believing about prayer are wrong, and just open up the door just a crack so that if there is something wrong, that we could make a scriptural adjustment here and that it could help us in our prayer life.
And that was my answered prayer. The Lord was speaking right through Andrew.
The first time I heard Andrew preach on the Gospel of Truth program, to tell you the truth, prior to that, I was scanning the channels and I saw him and I would catch him, but he didn't really grab my attention because he just sat still and was kind of not necessarily monotone. It wasn't that boring, but it wasn't a stimulating visual experience as you would expect on television to capture your attention, as we are accustomed to. So it was a different kind of programming, visually speaking. The message, it took a while for me to get over the visual to allow the message to enter in. Once I allowed that to sink in, that's what had me hooked. And that's because it was the truth.
I watch Andrew every day. There's not one day where I miss. And I just started applying those principles from the Word. And my life has just started changing.
From the beginning she started watching Andrew Womack till this day, I just saw her facial features and the way she acts. It's just amazing what God has done in her. He's totally renewed her, and she's not sick anymore.
My healing wasn't instant. It was progressive. It was a gradual healing. I don't know if it was because of my belief. Well, actually, I think it is because I wasn't taught. I wasn't taught the right way. I was coming from a different doctrine. I was being taught by my pastor. But when Andrew put it so clearly, that's what freed me. That's what freed me. And then as the more I learned, the more I applied the word, then the healing will come. The healing will come. Just gradually, gradually. And that was okay for me because I knew that I was healed. You know, whether it came instantly or not, I knew I was healed. And no one was going to change that.
She knows that God does not want her ill. She totally believes that God has already healed her. So when symptoms come up in her body, right away, she is speaking to the specific symptom. And in the name of Jesus, that symptom evaporates almost instantaneously, if not right on the spot. I mean, she just speaks to it, and her faith is to receive that healing right then.
God has already done His part. We aren't waiting on God to answer our prayer. God has anticipated every problem that you'll ever have through Jesus. He sent Jesus here. Jesus paid for the forgiveness of your sins. He healed all of your diseases. He delivered you from all of the oppression. He's already provided whatever it is that you need before you even existed. The Lord anticipated your problem and made the supply before you ever had the need. Everything that God is ever going to do has already been done through Jesus. He put this same power that He used raising Jesus from the dead inside of you. It's resident in you. And now, instead of approaching God as a great beggar and saying, "Oh God, we are powerless. We have nothing. We are just looking to You. Please move. Pour out Your power. Oh God, heal. Oh God, deliver," which is the way most people are praying. Instead, we are supposed to come and say, "Father, thank You that in Christ everything I need has already been provided. You've given me this authority, and so now You take Your authority and You speak to Your mountain," Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You speak to the problem. Don't talk to God about your problem, but talk to your problem about God. Take Your authority, speak and command things to respond. Command the power of God to flow. And see, if you start taking that authority and using it that way, you're going to see different results.
I don't need anything. I have the power of God in me. I have the Holy Spirit in me. Any little thing, I just rebuke it in Jesus' name, and it has to leave, and it does leave. Andrew Womack said, "You know what? You have to be a fanatic." Well, you know what? I am a fanatic. And that's the way I'm going to live my life, a fanatic for Jesus.
So praise God, isn't that awesome about Mercy and her husband running, and God has set them free. And I tell you, Mercy now has gone on television. She's got her own ministry. She's seeing lots of people healed. I tell you, this is awesome. And the same thing that God did for Mercy, He will do it for you. It is God's will for you to be well. So please listen to the announcer, and please take advantage of these healing testimonies and of all of these materials. I promise you, it could make a difference in your life.
The story you saw in today's program is in the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on CD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all the individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's audio teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Now, purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268. But you can get them all on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The second audio teaching in today's series is titled, What About Paul's Thorn in the Flesh? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of March, he'll be in Yorba Linda, Riverside, Pasadena, and Santa Clara, California, and in Woodland Park, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days and for the grand opening celebration for the new Charis Bible College campus. In April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and again in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
You can take control of your destiny. Let Charis Bible College Orlando equip you with the education and skills you need to fulfill God's call on your life.
Charis Bible College is like special forces training. You learn how to make an impact. You really learn how to make a difference.
Go online to floridacbc.org. floridacbc.org. Charis Bible College Orlando, an extension of Andrew Womack Ministries. Want to view Gospel Truth and other videos from Andrew Womack Ministries on your television anytime you want? Well, now you can on Andrew's new Roku channel. Get instant access to hundreds of video teachings and testimonies at any time you desire. And all you need is a Roku player, your television set, and an internet connection. If you'd like more information, simply log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Roku channel.